This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
Has anyone heard of Gina, Louisiana? So Gina is a town in northern Louisiana. It's 85% white. It's a town where 66% of voters in the town voted for former Klansman David Duke when he ran for governor of the state. It's a deeply conservative town. It's divided by race. There's a white part of town and a black part of town. On the schoolyard during lunchtime, there's an area where the white students hang out under a tree, and there's an area where the black students hang out. On the first day of school in 2006, a school administrator is talking and about how the school year will go. He asks if anyone has any questions. A black student says, yes, can anyone sit under that tree? The school administrator says anyone can sit wherever they want. The next day, there's nooses hanging from under that tree. The black students take this as a sign from these white students that they are not welcome under the tree. And in a brave action, every single black student in the school goes and sits under that tree and stands under the tree and demonstrates under the tree. The district attorney of the parish, which is the area of that town, maybe I'll call it counties here, I don't know. The district attorney is brought in, and he brings the students into a school assembly. There's white students on one side, black students at the other side. Directing his remarks at the black students, he says, you need to stop making trouble or I can make your lives disappear with the stroke of my pen. What follows is more racial incidents in the city and in that school. A white former student threatens some black students with a shotgun. The black students take the gun, and the black students are charged with theft. The white student faces no charges. On the following Monday after that, a white student is badly beaten in the school. That night, there's a school ring ceremony. The white student is out joking with friends. He has no permanent injuries. But six black students who may not have been involved in that fight but were some of the leaders of that protest under the tree are charged with attempted murder and face life in prison, 90-plus years. The families of those students face a lot of pressure to be silent, but they refuse to be silent. And these families have never before been to a demonstration, never before been to a press conference, start organizing demonstrations and organizing press conferences. They spend months doing this with no one listening, just their friends and neighbors, and soon people from neighboring communities start coming. I wrote one of the first stories about it for a national audience, and with other people from New Orleans, tried to help spread the word about these cases. People from New Orleans, I gotta say something, in New Orleans, before Katrina, the national media never had any interest in what was happening in Louisiana. But after Katrina, we suddenly had some contacts with national media. People were suddenly interested. So people from New Orleans took the contacts that they have for national media and started telling them, look at Gina, look at Gina, and started getting some results. Associated Press, Chicago Tribune, others started telling the story. But really, it was grassroots media that were the main people that were interested. Small community radio stations were telling the story. Bloggers were telling the story. People were emailing it around. People were changing their MySpace image to say, free the Gina 6. Anyone remember MySpace? And the story started getting bigger and started spreading around. The Final Call newspaper, the only nationwide black newspaper left in the U.S., did a story about it. And activists from that organization that puts out the Final Call, the Nation of Islam, started having conference calls where they invited students from especially historically black colleges and universities in the South to be on the call. Hundreds of students were joining the call on how they could organize in response to this. People were having benefits. People started a legal defense fund. In July of 2007, the families held a demonstration. They've been having demonstrations about every month or every 2 weeks. But this one was the biggest one yet. The word had really gotten out, and 300 people were there in the town of Gina, this very small town. There's just a courthouse, a barbershop, a couple other businesses. As Jesse Muhammad, one of the journalists that was there, said, we said we were going to march the whole town. And so people started marching and said, no justice, no peace. And then they marched the whole town. That was it. But a symbol had been sent out, a message had been sent out. And people kept organizing. The families called for September 20th of 2007 for the next demonstration. And people kept organizing. People kept spreading the word. And on September 20th of 2007, 50,000 people marched in Jena. People from all around the country. And in my knowledge, this is the first case where you had 50,000 people not in Washington, D.C. or some major capital, but in this small northern Louisiana town that people had to go through a lot of difficulty to get to. And it was not called by any mainstream civil rights organization, any national figure. It was called by these families in Jena. And the call was amplified through the grassroots, through people at the grassroots. Civil rights figures like Jesse Jackson, Reverend Al Sharpton got involved in the weeks beforehand, but they were just following the lead of these families. Reverend Al Sharpton said some wise things about, like he said, they got us with Katrina, they're not going to get us with Jena. There was the idea that people were going to take these lessons from Katrina and this long promised in the U.S. national conversation on race that we never received and continue to push for this. It was called the first struggle of a 21st century civil rights movement. With this national pressure that came on, with this marching, with this demonstrating, with the political pressure that came from that, politicians started having to take sides. Pressure started coming down on the district attorney in that town. A legal team, much better than what most African-American youth in Louisiana would ever get, came on board. And today, those six youth are in college instead of in prison. And this was a success of this movement. That day, September 20th of 2007, it was a beautiful, decentralized moment. Instead of one t-shirt design, as you often see in these mass rallies, there was literally 1,000 different t-shirts. Each one had 50 people wearing them, as each community had designed their own t-shirt. There was no one rally or march, but many rallies and marches all throughout the town. It was mostly young people. It was more than 90%, maybe 95% African American. The vast majority were young people, many of whom had never been to a demonstration. Many people who had never before been to a demonstration actually rented buses and filled buses with their community. There was one bus filled with just poets from New Orleans. And what people in Jena say is that if we learn from this that occasionally we can free six young black men, then we will have learned nothing. But if these lessons of being accountable to the community, of being active and continuing to struggle against a wall of silence when all seems hopeless, this lesson of using culture in the organizing, these lessons of finding ways in which people from different areas can all plug in under one goal, and these lessons of focusing not just on six youth, but of a criminal justice system that is criminal and racist wherever it is found. If these lessons can be amplified, then we will have learned something. Then there will truly have been a victory. Thank you.